Now, he is with the Golf Channel, and he's down at the RSM Classic. Rex Hoggard joins us. Rex, what's going on this morning, my man?
It's warm. I can't tell you how warm it is. After yesterday, anything was going to feel warm, and it's warm today. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I was watching the broadcast yesterday. It looked like they were playing in Europe yesterday, Rex.
When I showed up, I had a morning drive here yesterday morning, and it was 36 degrees. Oh. I thought, this is no fun for anyone. I was glad I was just talking and not having to swing the golf club.
Oh, yeah. Chucky Three Sticks has a three-shot lead. You know, Cameron Champ at 11 under par shoots 63 yesterday. You know, we were talking to Matt Adams earlier. I mean, is Cameron Champ the real deal, or is this just kind of one of those things where a guy's on a little bit of a run and having some good success? But, you know, is this something that he's going to be able to sustain? As this continues to go, is he going to be able to handle this pressure that all of us are going to start putting on him?
Well, that's a million-dollar question. I mean, to be honest with you, he certainly has all the tools to be the real deal, however we slice that up. I mean, it's amazing to me when I spoke with him yesterday about, everyone wants to fixate on how far he hits the ball, and he hits the ball a long way. There's no doubt about it. But the part that really gets you is he's second in the field in strokes game putting. I mean, he not only does he hit the ball a mile, it's an advantage that he certainly has learned how to take advantage of, but he also putts really well. He's got a really good demeanor on the golf course. So all the pieces are there. To answer your question, I really think we have to give it some time. I mean, I think he has every opportunity to be the real deal. I don't know if we'll know for sure until we get maybe more into next summer and then into the next few years, because up to this point, he's competed against fields that, let's face it, don't have the top players. And it will be curious to see how he matches up against the Dustin Johnsons and the Brooks Koepkas. But right now, he is an impressive player. There is no doubt about it.
Yeah, Rex, great storylines coming out of this thing with Howell. And I loved watching Jason Gore yesterday. He just seemed to be making every putt that there was. I'm a fan of his and always have been. But what kind of chances do you give Jason Gore for the weekend?
You mean the insurance salesman?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I asked him yesterday when he sat down, because I remember specifically it was about 3 years ago at the Web.com Tour Final, and I was talking to him, and he shakes his head. I've known Jason a long time, and he goes, man, I'm done with this. I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
So yesterday I brought that up, and he goes, I did retire. I've been selling insurance the last 3 years.
Right.
He's not being entirely honest. There was a lot of Web.com starts in there and a couple tour starts. He's not been entirely out of the game. If you're not a fan of Jason Gore, you're not a fan of fun.
Right.
Because I think anyone who has ever spent time around him enjoys him, understands he's a genuine individual, and understands how much he cares for this game.
Yeah.
And I've covered him since that magical summer back when he had a chance to win the U.S. Open at Pinehurst, and then he gets his tour card on a Battlefield promotion from the Web.com Tour, wins the 84 Lumber Classic. I mean, it was really an amazing summer. And to see him come this far and to have an opportunity like this, and the thing that you need to keep in mind, and I never want to, roll down expectations in situations like this, but he doesn't necessarily need to win this week. I mean, anything in the top five, even the top 10, gives him a lot of opportunities going into next year that he did not have at the beginning of this week. So he's got a chance this week to do something very special, even if he doesn't get the win.
Doesn't he? If he finishes top five, does he get in the Sony?
Top 10 gets him in the
okay,
Sony, and
good.
That's huge. And it also kind of moves him up into a category and allows him to reshuffle and get into a couple more events next year. So it just opens up a lot of opportunities, like I said, that he didn't have. And I'm sure he wasn't even thinking he was going to have.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that Jason Gore and Tiger Woods played together as kids for all their childhood.
They really did, and it wasn't that long ago when I remember being at the Wyndham Championship. And this was back when Tiger was in contention, and it was late in the season, and Jason was the one that was paired with him on Sunday. Davis Love III ended up winning that tournament. But it's funny to see how far those two go back. I mean, he's got some great stories about Tiger playing junior golf in Southern California, he and Pat Perez and the rest of them. So, yeah, there is a really cool connection there.
Hey, Rex, you know, one of the players that I've been looking at trying to really play his way out of kind of oblivion is Lucas Glover. I mean, here's a guy that he's kind of unfortunately lived his life in front of us recently, and he's kind of turned it around a little bit. Shoots 567 yesterday and has himself inside the top 10. Have you had a chance to talk to him and kind of get a feel for where he is and where his game is recently?
Yeah, I spoke with him briefly this week after the first round when he was coming off the Seaside course. And he seems to be in a really good place, but the more eye-opening conversation was with his swing coach, Tony Ruggiero. And we were having dinner the other night. He was saying how much more easy is right now and how that's translating to his game. Tony called it on Wednesday night when we were talking and said he is striping the ball. It's as good as he's ever seen him hit it. And when Lucas does that, it really just boils down to putting. And if he can putt even halfway decent, he knows this golf course as well as anyone else. He lived on the island for quite a while, so I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. And it's just a matter of if he can convert some putts, it would be very good to see him kind of turn it around. And he's had some decent starts this fall, so it's very encouraging after everything he's been through in his life personally, as you pointed out, kind of lived it under the public spotlight, for him to sort of be able to focus and get back to golf.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, when you start looking at I affectionately still call him Chucky Three Sticks. I mean, he's got a three-shot lead, and here's a guy that, you know, we have always felt like is a great player, but we've never really seen the wins out of Charles Howell III. If he wins this week, is this something that maybe can set him up for a tremendous 2019?
It really could, and it's amazing. You know, we both covered Charles for a long time, and when he came out, you know, he was the next, you know, can't-miss kid, and he was right there alongside Tiger Woods, and there were so many high expectations. And it's funny when we talk about a player like Charles Howell, and I've had this conversation with him before, and I think I've asked him once, would you rather have your career at this point or John Daly's career at this point? And he knew where I was going with the question, because Charles currently ranks 23 on the all-time earnings list. I think he's made a little over $35 million. I think John Daly ranks about 121st, but we all know John Daly has two majors, three tour wins, and everything that goes along with that. And it's a complicated question. I mean, I think if you look at Charles' career, if you and I were in college together and now reconnecting all these years later, and you ask me, how am I feeling? Well, I've made $34 million in my career. You're going to be like, wow, you've done well. You've done some work. Whereas for a tour player, it's how many times have you won? How many majors have you won? So it is a weird situation. I was interested yesterday when he came off the golf course and he was talking about, even at this stage in his career, he'll be 40 next June, all the things that he's accomplished. He goes, I've never been very good playing with the lead in the tournament. And I think he's more curious than anyone else to see how he plays these next 2 days. And I think he has taken some steps, even at his age as a veteran, to try to remedy that. And specifically, he talked about trying to, you know, spend less time on the practice green. We know he can get lost on the practice range and get lost in the swing mechanics, and spend more time on the golf course with his swing coach, Grant Waite, and just trying to simulate that kind of pressure that he's going to feel over the next 2 days. I will say this, that I don't know that I've ever seen anyone hit the ball as well as he did the last 2 days. I mean, to hit 18 of 18 greens in regulation and 14 of 14 fairways on Thursday in those conditions, even on the plantation course, which is the easier of the two, but to do that under the conditions that we had on Thursday is an absolute masterpiece.
Yeah. Justin Leonard commented both Thursday and Friday, Rex, about he's a little too analytical and concentrates on that maybe a little too much, and that might have held him back a little bit. Would you agree with that statement?
I think that Charles would probably be the first one to say it, and I was on the telecast with Justin when he made that analogy the other day, and Justin also pointed out that if you look at the way he's playing, and I believe this was Thursday when the winds were howling about 25 miles an hour, Charles was hitting a lot of kind of sawed-off pitching wedges and, you know, kind of creating shots and very much not mechanical. You know, he was out there feeling and playing golf, the things you have to do in those kind of situations, and it's very encouraging. Now, the next 2 days will be interesting. As I pointed out, it's 55 degrees right now. I'm at the golf course, which is balmy compared to where we've been the last few days, and not much wind. So this is going to turn into a sprint, and he's going to have to continue. I don't think he needs to shoot two more 64s, but he has to continue making birdies to keep pace with the field, and he'll have to be aggressive.
What's the wind forecast for Seaside today, Rex?
It's going to get up to about 5, maybe 10 miles an hour.
Is that
but that's
it?
Nothing compared to what the guys have had. So, yeah, I would expect to see some low scores today.
Yeah.
Hey, Rex, talk a little bit about Bernhard Langer. I mean, at 61 years old, wins the Schwab Cup on the Champions Tour again, and, I mean, is still the dominating player. I swear he's looked the same for the last 20 years. Talk a little bit about, you know, Bernhard Langer and going into next year. I mean, is this just one of the most unbelievable runs you've ever seen from a player? I mean, 61 years old.
It really is on a lot of different levels. And I was on Morning Drive. I was about to go on, and I was listening to Charlie Reimer talk about it. And I think he nailed it. But there's a lot of things at play here. And look, you're all talented players. If you're on the Champions Tour, you've all won, I'm sure, multiple times on the PGA Tour. But at that point, at that stage in your career, in your life, there's a lot of competing interest, and you have to stay motivated. You have to stay focused. You have to still want to go out and work on the range and work on the putting green and in the gym. And I think that Brent Arnold has done that better than anyone over the course of the last 10 or 15 years. He's kept himself in unbelievable shape, but he's also put the time in on the range. I mean, you can't suddenly start to mail it in just because you're over 50 years old. Everyone is good out there. I think the most telling thing about this whole Langer situation as we move forward, and he's been so dominant, is how it's motivating guys who are now transitioning to the Champions Tour. I mean, I think specifically BJ Singh said he's going to focus on the Champions Tour next year to try to beat Langer. I think Steve Stricker is going to do the same thing. Davis Love III talked about maybe trying to do the same thing. All of them are suddenly looking in that direction, thinking, wow, this is a competition. I want to see if I can take him down. And I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, and I think the Champions Tour, especially in the next couple of years, is just going to be phenomenal. I mean, you know, I'm 48 years old, so I know Phil Mickelson's 48 years old, and he's going to be out there in a couple of years. I mean, the talent level that's going to be going out there is just going to be amazing, and how much more difficult that tour is going to get. I mean, I still say far and away it's the most difficult tour to actually get on if you don't have status already.
Oh, it's got to be the most closed shop. I don't know how many guys get out of Q school now. You would probably know better than me, but it's nowhere near compared to the PGA Tour. I think six or seven guys get their tour cards, and those are kind of conditional cards, if I'm not mistaken. And Monday qualifying is different. I mean, everything about it is very, very difficult to get out there. That's why you see guys who are transitioning. Steve Flesch a few years ago was a perfect example. Mm-hmm. He really put a lot of time and work into it when he was 48, 49 years old. Because he knew how important that first year out was. You have to establish yourself as a rookie. You basically have to do it all over again, what you did on the PGA Tour. It's not a free pass like a lot of people think it is.
Well, Rex, man, we always appreciate you coming on with us. Stay warm down there in Georgia, and have fun on the weekend.
Appreciate you guys having me on. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Rex.